I have a question about the campaign, because you really make some very clear and obvious points about why the Green Party would want to reach out to a younger generation and to hip-hop activists. But I want to know kind of what's your goal in being connected with the party. I mean, there's going to be millions of people out there that are going to say, okay, there's no way that the Green Party is going to win the election. So I want to know, what is your campaign goal? Like, what do you plan to accomplish by running?
You know, people could say there's no way we're going to win, but people also thought George Bush wouldn't get into office and that the Supreme Court would elect the president. So, you know, anything can happen. And the way this country is going, literally anything could happen at this point. So the goal of the Green Party particularly is to get 5%, if not more, of the electorate so that we become a major other party, and it can stop being a two-party system, Democrats and Republicans. That includes Ralph Nader, Matt Gonzalez, who are running on the Independent Party line, and Bob Barr and his VP, Libertarians, who we're diametrically opposed to. But, you know, even both of them have sent out their congratulations, particularly to the Green Party, first for selecting the first ever woman of color ticket. So when people say we're not going to win, or they're caught up in the Obama mania, that's on them. I'm not trying to change their mind. I'm trying to get to the 48% of the electorate that still hasn't registered to vote. And I'm trying to get people to understand that the seeming, well, first of all, Barack Obama is still the presumptive nominee. He's not been nominated yet. And folks can't sleep on anything happening at the DNC or the fact that Hillary Clinton never ended her campaign but suspended it. So the Democrats are dealing with their own stuff. The Republicans already know for the most part they lost this election. They're prepared for the next 20 years. That's what the Green Party is trying to do too. To not only be about voting every 4 years, but preparing a movement. That's why we have over 200 Greens running for all type of offices in this election cycle, including Cindy Sheehan, who's gonna go against Nancy Pelosi. And what's happening now, impeachment has been off the table. The Democrats got into the office, impeachment was off the table. 3 days after Cindy Sheehan announced that she's running against Nancy Pelosi and me and Cynthia are nominated, now John Conyers is having the hearing he promised to have 3 years ago, and Nancy Pelosi is saying impeachment's on the table. They're feeling the pressure of the third party right behind their back, because they understand that the majority of Americans are satisfied with this entire system. 64% of people polled said that the Congress and president were the worst in the history of the United States of America. That means for people like the Green Party is we go to the people that are completely marginalized and dissatisfied and are always the people who leaders feel they don't count or they don't have to be held accountable to. So, you know, in that sense, I answered more than the specific.
No, yeah, you definitely did. So I'm wondering, though, how do you change that? Because you definitely, you know, pointed out about how many people are dissatisfied with government, and a lot of those people, especially youth and especially people of color, have become very apathetic about government. And so how do you motivate them to move past that apathy and to take part in the political process and to register to vote and to vote for the Green Party? How do you reach out to those people that have just kind of given up involvement with government at all? What do you do to get them into the process?
People aren't apathetic. They just don't trust the system. And why should they? We got a bunch of criminals running the White House right now. They're apathetic. They feel that they don't see an alternative. And part of the reason they don't see it is because the mainstream media is completely whiting out all the third parties right now. So it's going to take not even a reform, but complete media justice first to get the stories out, to let people know that there are options, to let people not get caught up in the marketing of Barack Obama and John McCain. That's exactly what they're doing, marketing so people buy what they're selling. You know, and I think what we're doing and what, you know, particularly for the Green Party, is how hip-hop started. It's like we're getting to the people that are not necessarily apathetic and want to move in a direction, but they don't want to move in that direction. You know, and the way to do that is to break through the media, to be on the ground. But particularly within hip hop, there's been a critical eye of the Democratic nominee and of the Republican nominee. There's been a critical eye since September 11th, so, you know, 2001. So I think part of it is how the hip-hop generation is also going to be involved in this movement. It can't just be about two people running and breaking through to some of the press or people. No, it really requires a movement. So I kind of feel like how Mos Def said, people always asking where hip-hop is going where the people are going. That's exactly where the politics are going. And politics, a political process, the least important thing you can ever do is vote. Voting is the easiest thing to do in this country right now. So voting is what you do after. It's what happens after November 7th. It's the accountability. And that politics is not all about voting. If people come to me and they tell me they don't want to vote, I don't care. All right, don't vote. Or are you going to organize? Or are you going to do something different? Because voting didn't get us into the situation that we're in, and it's never going to get us out. You know, it's like what Malcolm said, the ballot or the bullet. You use the pressure of the ballot to keep the people who say they want to serve the people completely accountable to the people. And that's exactly the kind of message, but also the kind of leadership I'm trying to bring. And I think that definitely comes out of a hip-hop activist paradigm in how I view leadership and how I view people's involvement and accountability in that. So it's not one or the other. It has to be really all of us working towards at least some specific goals.
I have two questions to go with what you just said. The first is, how specifically do you define a hip-hop activist? And the next part of it would be, you know, as a hip-hop activist, I know you're going to be going to the National Hip-Hop Political Convention in Las Vegas upcoming. What kind of agenda are you hoping or planning will come out of that?
Well, first, I really think hip-hop activism is, I don't define it, you know. I feel like I'm an activist, I'm a scholar, and I'm of the hip-hop generation. Harry Allen has defined it, other people have attempted to define it. The only definition I work with is the hip-hop generation, as Bukhari Kitawar defined it in his book. But he made a mistake by leaving out Latinos. You know, so, but I'll still take his definition of these post-civil rights Black Power people born post-1969. So, as it relates to the convention, I'm not an activist in that. I'm one of the founders of the convention. So we founded the convention in Chicago in March 2003. 13 of us, originally 14 of us. And when we founded the convention, we did not find the convention to just partake in the electoral political process. We founded the convention to formulate a national agenda, use grassroots organizing to move it forward, and use the vote as the ballot as an accountability factor. Now, I know what we did when we founded the agenda in 2003, but there's a whole new leadership. Most of the founders have obviously phased out, and a lot of younger people are running it. So in terms of what their specific agenda is and how they're trying to move forward, that's something I'm not involved in that much. But I do know that when we go there July 31st to August 4th, and a lot of the workshops are critically important, Black and Brown unity, how to use hip-hop in education, how we solidify media justice as one of the most necessary tools for social activism. You know, all those kind of things that they're going to be hashing out, that 5 years from the day, almost the day we founded it, we have a hip-hop activist running on a party for the first time ever as Vice President of the United States. And I don't say that, I know it's me, but like I said in my speech, it's so not about me. It's literally about that day we were in that room in 2003 saying, yo, if we don't make some power moves by 2008 and 12, we're going to lose two more generations to what's going on out here, particularly for Black and Latinos. So for me, the hip-hop convention is moving forward right now, I think they're on a better track than when we were in Chicago in 06 when things just didn't seem to gel and people left and agendas got switched. But I think now the younger cats running it are realizing you cannot get caught up in, like, if you're going to worry about a two-party system and that's going to be your main goal, how you influence that, it's never going to work because the only people who can influence that are really the elite, the people who have money. But the way we can influence that and what the hip-hop convention, I think, is doing better now through their local organizing committees is not about joining the Green Party. It's about what are the principles and values and public policy that we want to see put forth. Everybody locally can work on that. If you want to get down with the Greens, go ahead. If you never want to vote, go ahead. If you're gay, do this. If you're not, if you're anarchist, atheist, all of that. And I think that's, to me, why the hip-hop convention is probably, to me, the most progressive organization within the hip-hop organizations. Because I can name you a whole slew of hip-hop cats who are Republicans. And I don't know how the hell that happened, but it happens because everybody sees the power of hip-hop and are trying to use it. I'm not trying to use it. I literally see myself representing people who have been putting work down since 1998, you know, or before that in the early 90s with Public Enemy and Chuck D and all them cats to what Death Press has been doing for the last 10 years. So I see it as something that's definitely going to move the convention forward, and I hope that my run in particular gets us at the table right now, because we're not even in the building. Like, nobody's responding to the needs of our generation right now. They're really not. They're completely ignoring us. And the interesting thing about it that the convention is also bringing forth, and I think the Green Party nomination brings forth, is this multiracial justice movement. And I'm much about my identity of being a Black Puerto Rican. That is very primary to the person, very central to who I am. But I'm starting to understand more and more that this is becoming really an issue of those who have and the majority of those who don't have anymore. And that includes now a multiracial justice analysis. So all that answers, I hope, a lot about the activism, where I think the convention is moving, and why I think the Green Party is primary to, or us being with the Green Party is primary to moving the party forward too, and continue to build a movement.
Absolutely, that's really helpful. One other question I had in terms of, like, I mean, it seems like when you talk about hip hop, you have, I mean, you speak about it as this revolutionary tool. In the history of it, and that's where it comes from. But I think, especially today, a lot of young people associate, you know, hip-hop with Lil Wayne and 50 Cent, and they don't really know a lot of where the more revolutionary parts of it are. I know a long time ago, you wrote that essay, you know, telling Russell Simmons, you are not hip-hop. Where do you stand on, like, you know, the fact that since a lot of young people today don't understand the revolutionary aspect of it, and they associate hip-hop with Russell Simmons and Lil Wayne and people like that?
Well, first, I think what you said in your question, it's a revolutionary tool. A tool is a weapon. It could be, you know, and hip-hop is a weapon. It's either used for good or for bad. And people are either going to jack it up and you know, perpetuate stereotypes, media images, and all that kind of stuff, or people are going to understand, look, this is where it comes from, and I'm going to try to stay true. When I wrote that article in 2001, you know, cats back then were using words like, what's a hip-hop purist? Are you a purist? Who's really hip-hop? Who are the pioneers? And we, you know, I stopped having this discussion a couple years ago when I just realized that it's such a big culture now that it's hard to categorize. It's hard to be like, he is hip-hop, I'm hip-hop, he's not hip-hop. I mean, I still personally believe Russell Simmons, P. Diddy, none of them. I still to this day don't believe they represent what hip-hop culture is, where it comes from, or particularly the people that are most affected by it. Like you said, young people, particularly around images. Like Lil Wayne myself, well, I didn't like Lil Wayne 2 years ago, but his album right now is hot. I mean, he has a whole breakdown of of who Al Sharpton is, things that we talk about in the hip-hop community, his song around Katrina, you know, his analogies. I mean, and I was ready, before I listened to it, to be like, it's a Lil Wayne album, what else can it be? And he has his two songs and his misogyny in there. And what I realized is, you know, a couple years ago, you can't, it's so hard to be pure. Because everyone in this country is running a contradiction. I could say I want to be socialist, but I still have to use the American dollar. I could say I hate misogyny, but may still bounce my head unintentionally to some song that is sexist. So it's like a schizophrenic, but also it's so contradictory. Just like Tupac was that alternate contradiction. I think that's what hip-hop is right now. It's beautiful, but it's these contradictions. Who's really running the culture? Are they going to really put out an Immortal Technique album and market it and the Dead Prez album coming out? Or is it going to be regulated to the people who know where to get the real hip-hop? Or is it going to be just a complete 50 Cent and in 10 years hip-hop will be white girls who are pop stars using beats and production? You know, like, that's an interesting thing that's happening right now. So, you know, I still see hip-hop for me as a revolutionary tool. I still see it as a weapon that is hurting particularly a lot of young people, particularly through mainstream radio play. But yet, when I go to MySpace page on Facebook and I have 14 and 15-year-olds texting me, knowing that they're telling me they can't vote, but they will now want to know about the Green Party because on their MySpace page, someone found N1 talking about me, and someone found Immortal Technique and Professor Grimm and Chuck D. And what I see now is the most necessary tool to keep revolutionizing hip-hop to the majority of these young kids is using media, you know, and how we're really going to communicate. And then I see why they also trying to shut down the internet or give people different access to it if they can afford one price or another price, what the FCC is doing to keep out, you know, just a lot of the mainstream media that should be letting people choose, but is not even giving them those options. So I'm kind of encouraged by it, you know, and I still, to this day, 2008, will still say Russell Simmons is not representative of what I believe hip-hop culture is.
Okay, so I have a question then about media. I know, you know, not too long ago you led that whole boycott with Hot 97. So how do everyday people or, you know, okay, these community activists, grassroots people, what do you do about the media? Kind of what responsibility do you have to make media more responsible or to make it more accurate or more inclusive? So, I mean, I think that there's a lot of issues that we can all recognize that are causing problems, but how do people act on those to make change?
Yeah, first I'm a proponent of free speech, so folks need to realize I'm not going to be having a protest over the N-word or the B-word. I am not having a funeral, and I won't be rallying around that. I feel like everybody has the right to say whatever they want, and that's actually a waste of time. When we targeted Hot 97, we targeted them because they clearly said this is where hip-hop lives, and to have a song making fun of a million people dying should be unacceptable in anyone's eyes. And what we did was, we didn't protest their speech. We went right to the advertisers and got $5.1 million removed from their advertising budget. And we also gave Elliot Spitzer information to move forward on the payola cases that were pending around artists having to literally pay to get on the air on Hot 97. And well, actually, it was MS, Clear Channel Communication Stations, not MS. So when I think about mainstream media, I tell people, it's going to take a groundswell of people telling the media, you know, emailing, getting to the advertisers of all the mainstream, from CNN to MS Clear to Viacom, that this is not acceptable anymore. We will boycott, we will protest, we will call your advertisers. Because it can't just be about putting more Black and Latino people in. Okay, we got a lot of sisters running BET and MTV and a lot of magazines. They say they come from us, But look, it's the women. There's a lot of women making decisions about how women are portrayed, particularly women of color, whether it's Kathy Hughes, Christine Norman, or Deborah Lee. These are some real power players in the mainstream media. And these are women of color who allow a lot of that bullshit to come through. You know, so I think it takes a groundswell of people, but it also takes us keep building our own independence, keep putting out our own stories, you know, keep giving people alternative newspapers, give people access to the internet free so they can exchange information and really, like, keep to the tradition of hip-hop, oral storytelling, traditional like that. I don't ever see the mainstream media ever reflecting our values. If they did, this country would be rebelling right now just over gas prices if they were really letting the truth come out to the American people. And they learned that in the 60s when they had the Vietnam War and they would tell how many soldiers died every day. And every day more and more people would join the anti-war movement. And it's because they saw the numbers of soldiers dying every day going up and up. And people were watching on TV. And people were watching the civil rights movement on TV and dogs being sicked on black people. And people were seeing that and saying, no, I have to be a part of that revolution to stop that. And now look at what we have. George Bush won't even let media cameras tape a coffin with an American flag. He won't even tell the numbers every day so there could be a rolling count of American soldiers that are dying. So it's almost like people know there's a war, but they're kind of like not, they don't think they're feeling it. So all of that is like what I talk about media justice. We achieve that by building our own, by protesting theirs, particularly the advertising, and by a groundswell of people demanding that, not support the Green Party, but you gotta at least give it equal time. If you're giving the Dems and Republicans all this time, you gotta at least give the other three parties an equal time and let the people make their own decision. But they're afraid. That's why they won't put us on CNN or they won't debate us, because they know we're coming with that truth and that reality, and they can't afford for their masks to be shattered. That's what's going on right now. So people really got to take the media justice. It's like every day that's something you have to fight. That's something you have to fight. It's like so essential to our struggle right now.
I wanted to ask about, you said that, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans aren't really addressing, you know, the needs of working class people, youth, hip-hop generation. You know, basically, how are they functioning? How are they gonna? I mean, do you think that could be a reason why they're not gonna be viable, you know, in the near future, because they're not addressing the needs of, you know, these large constituencies?
No, I mean, you're right. They're not gonna be viable. They're gonna be viable for now, for 08, but wait till 2010 and 12. Look, Barack is already moderating. We already know what John McCain going to do if he gets in office. If Barack gets in office, he's already to the right. He signed the FISA bill, then he has his circus out there, straight line of the people, when he's on tape saying he would never sign that bill and he was still a buster and he didn't even do that. So, you know, I don't predict things. I'm not like, I don't have that visionary kind of thing that some people do, but it's pretty clear that when it comes down to it, it's really going to just have to be a rebellion. And I don't mean revolution with guns. It could be a general strike. It could be like, that's it. People just can't afford gas, and people literally not going to be able to buy it. People, homelessness, it's going to take a like all these, what's it called, when you have a lot of things coming at one time. God, like a convulsion, not a convulsion.
Cascade?
Say that again.
Cascade?
Like a convergence. Like
convergence
of all this stuff.
Okay.
That's the word, convergence.
Okay.
You know.
And so,
like I said, it's just hard to predict, but it's pretty clear that unless whoever gets into office makes some immediate radical change to what's going on, there will be some type of uprising in this country, and it'll probably take form of a general type of strike and shutdown. And you just, you can't have all this convergence of horrible things happening. I mean, people talk about the subprime mortgage, but they're not talking about the rent destabilization laws that are getting erased everywhere. And we already know what's happening in New York with gentrification. We already see crime starting to rise because there's people are getting kicked out of homes, people are getting kicked out of school, there's no jobs. You know, we already see all this stuff kind of starting to bubble, and it's gonna be okay until the election comes, or God forbid the Republicans try to steal the election again.
So my question,
I can't predict it. Katrina didn't do it for people the way I thought it would. After what I saw down there, maybe it is gonna be really like this kind of class war that goes down, because neither major candidate, right, has even used the word working class. When's the last time anybody even heard that word used? And they got everybody psyched thinking they're middle class when we know the majority of people are in middle class anyway.